Good morning. Good to see you. It's a blessing to be here. And I know on a beautiful day like this, warm, it's finally gotten warm. I'm a little stuffy this morning, so this time of year it's kind of hard to keep that air conditioner heater going like it needs to, because usually in the mornings it's chilly. I mean, in here we need the heat. Not so much this morning, it's kind of stuffy. So anyway, it's good to have everyone. If you're visiting with us, we do appreciate very much your presence. And if you have any questions or comments, anything at all that you would like further information about, please let us know. Talk to one of the men here or myself, and I'll be more than glad to sit down with you and do my best to answer any questions that you have. We'll open the Bible together. We'll study it. And, of course, here we simply want the truth. We want to follow the truth and obey the truth. This morning, we're going to be opening our Bibles to the book of Ruth. So if you will, please turn with me to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, right after the book of Judges. And this particular story is a very beautiful story, actually, a story of faith, love, loyalty, redemption. And there are actually several lessons that we can gain from this book. You know, every book in the Bible is there for a reason. And sometimes when we're just reading through the Bible, we may not pick up on those reasons right off. It may not strike us for the purpose of it. Every book in the Old Testament, every one of them, in one way or another, points to Jesus. It's not there just for information about history. Now, it does. It provides history. It provides geological locations, family lines, and all of that, which is important in the lineage of Christ. Of course, everything is pointing to Jesus. That is true with this book as well. When you read it, you may not get that initially, but this book is clearly pointing to Christ. We don't know really who wrote it. Many think Samuel did, and that's very likely or possible. I don't know who wrote it. But I do know it's there for a purpose. The Hebrew Scriptures contained it, and they reverenced it and recognized that it is of God. And God lies at the center of this book. So, all right, beginning with... Now my clicker's going to die on me. There it goes. The book of Ruth, starting out this morning, the events begin during the period of which the judges reign in Israel. So it's before the kings, before David, and we're actually given a pretty good timeline at the end of the book exactly when this story did take place. You've got a famine in Israel, in particular Judah, Bethlehem, and so there's a Jewish family that leaves, Elimelech and his wife Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They go from Bethlehem about 50 miles east across the Jordan River into Moab. And there they find food. But things did not go well. Elimelech dies shortly after they move to Moab. So Naomi is now a widow, and she has her two sons. Now they're old enough to take care of themselves and take care of their mother. They marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. And so they stay about 10 years in Moab. They're away from home. They're in an idolatrous nation. They have separated themselves from the people of God in reality. Naomi's two sons, though, die. And now you've got Orpah, you've got Ruth, and you've got Naomi, all three widows. Who is going to protect them? How can they sustain themselves? They are there all alone. So Naomi decides to return to Bethlehem, go back home. Naomi is from Bethlehem. Orpah and Ruth are from Moab. So Naomi pleads with the two girls to stay in Moab. In fact, it's very interesting how she pleads with them, actually Orpah twice and Ruth three times, to stay home, to return to her mother's house. To return even to her gods. You stay with your people. Ruth however, was determined to go with Naomi. And a very beautiful section of scripture is found in verses 16 and following. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Ruth is manifesting a love that goes beyond just what can I get out of you. It is a true, genuine concern and care for her mother-in-law. She prefers and chooses her mother-in-law over her mother's house, over her people. And she wants to go with Naomi back to Bethlehem. And she wants to serve the Lord God, the God of Israel. There are several lessons that we can learn just from that statement about Ruth. There are several things we can learn and lessons that need to be, boy, they really need to be applied today, don't they? We need folks who know what loyalty is. We don't see that very often anymore. Loyalty. Loyalty to family members. Loyalty to your company, to your boss, to the people that are around you. But of course, most and foremost, loyalty to God. Loyalty to Jesus Christ. Loyalty to His Word. We need people who are loyal. So many are just fickle, you know? It's not about loyalty or commitment. It's about, you know, just doing what they feel like they got to do and get it over with. And it's not about loyalty. It's not about commitment. Are we truly loyal to the Lord? Are we truly committed to His work and to His service? How does that manifest itself? Well, it'll show during the week. It'll show how we live our life. It'll show in what is most important to us. Where is our value? Where is our loyalty? Where is our commitment? Where is our faith? Now, this young lady leaves her family and demonstrates faith in God. She is pledging loyalty to God, loyalty and commitment and faith. Love. Love. We talked a little bit in Bible class this morning about love. We talked about marriage in particular with Isaac and him being, you know, set up with Rebekah. That was all Abraham's doing. And, you know, arranged marriages today don't work out too well. Why not? And I don't think that would fly in our culture today, but it doesn't matter what culture you're in. If wives and husbands would just choose to love God first and choose to love each other, they'd have a happy marriage. Love is a choice. Naomi made a choice. Well, Ruth made a choice. Naomi to go back home, Ruth to go with her. Humility. It takes humility to submit yourself to someone and to truly love someone. If you think about it, pride says, you know what, I want what I want. I want to do what I want to do. I'm the man in charge. I'm the one that's going to be in control of my life. Humility says, no, God is. Humility says, no, I'm going to submit myself to those to whom God says for me to submit myself. Whether it's to governments, to my husband, or to those who are over me in the Lord, whatever it may be, I'm going to submit. Humility. And then it's only a humble person that can truly love somebody. Because if you're proud, your love is centered on who? On me. Humility and love kind of go together. It takes true humility to truly love. A value of sacrifice. She's willing to leave her gods, leave her family, leave her land, and go to be with Naomi and serve her God and to be among her people. She's willing to give up a lot. But okay, we look in verses 19 through 21. Verses 19 through 21. It says, "Now the two women went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, 'Is this Naomi?' But she said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?'" Naomi sounds a little bitter. She's lost a husband and her two sons. Some of you can relate to that. It's a very painful thing to lose those whom you love and whom you depend on, and to be left in the circumstances that Naomi was. I mean, she was left without any protection, without any security. Widows in those days are not like widows in our day. Although widows in our day still need protection, they still need security. But there are so many other things and so many other resources. Back then, what resource did Naomi have? Where could she turn? What could she do to provide for herself? She couldn't go down at the store and get a job behind a checkout register. She couldn't do those kinds of things. She was going to starve to death. And you know what? With Ruth making the choice that she did, she also chose, you know what? If you starve, I'll starve. She's going to stick with her. So Naomi's sorrow is expressed. She has become and been made humbled before God. Now, she doesn't lose her faith in God. It's not that she doubts God. Not that she's really mad at God. She's accepting of it. It's just the reality of her plight, of her condition. Now, what does she do? She goes home, and she does the best that she can. And we see as the story plays out how things do indeed work out for her. So they return to Bethlehem, and it's the beginning of the barley season. And so Ruth tells Naomi she's fixing to go and she's fixing to glean in the fields. And it just so happens that she gleans over into a field of a man named Boaz. Now, she didn't know this at the time, but come to find out, when she goes back home and tells Naomi what she had done and where she was, well, he was a close relative to her. And in fact, Boaz inquires about her. In chapter 2, in verses 1 through 7, it says in verse 5, it says, Boaz says to his servant, "Who was in charge of the reapers? Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She's a Gentile. And she said, "Please, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued then from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. You know, she didn't just go into somebody's field and start picking. She asked permission to glean behind the reapers. Whatever fell on the ground, whatever was left when they went through, she would pick up what was available. And so she asked permission. And so Boaz goes to Ruth in verse 8. "You will listen, my daughter. Will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men shall not touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take a notice of me since I am a foreigner?" That's a good question. Why should Boaz recognize Ruth? She is a Moabite. They're not friends. Boaz answered and said to her, It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay you. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. This gives us a little more insight into Ruth. She didn't just leave to come to be with Naomi. It was because she did want her God to be her God. She didn't want the people of Israel's God to be her God. She wanted to be under the refuge of the God of heaven. Now, don't that strike you a little peculiar in what all has happened? Her father-in-law dies. Her husband dies. Her brother-in-law dies. It's just the three of them left. And she's still wanting to serve this God? She knew something about God that I think we need to learn. So many people, they'll serve God as long as things are going okay, as long as things are fitting in with their plan. But the moment things get messed up, they give up on God. They quit Him. They become angry with Him. That's why James says in James chapter 1, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You get angry with God, you get mad at God, it's going to drive you away from Him. But it's interesting, she wasn't mad at God after all that had happened. So Ruth then knowingly gleans in the field of Boaz, and his kindness is manifested. Again, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law. How important is a good reputation? How important is it to do what's right? You know what? Sometimes you feel like you work hard, you do what's right, you try to be honest and a person of integrity, a person of faith and loyalty to God, and nobody gives you any kudos. They don't give you any respect. In fact, many times you are kind of brushed aside and you're laughed at and even mocked. But I want to tell you something. If you want to catch the eye of the righteous people, of those who will help you, who will do good for you, you do what's right. You do what's right yourself. We sometimes get caught up in trying to please the world, and we kind of like that old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. You go to a bar, what kind of woman are you going to get? You know? But if you're doing what's right, you're worshiping and serving the Lord, now you're putting yourself in a position where a godly person will take notice of you. Right? And that's what you're looking for. You need a good reputation for that to happen. So the Lord repay your work, and a full reward will be given you by the Lord God of Israel. So, all right. Ruth continues gleaning in Boaz's field till the end of the harvest. So she works through the entire harvest until everything is reaped, harvested. And then in chapter 3, we have Naomi seeking security for her daughter-in-law. In fact, that's how it starts off in chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" So how does she go about doing that? Well, she knows Boaz is a close relative. Now, Naomi understood that she was past the age of childbearing, although I guess it was possible. But she had already told Orpah and Ruth that, you know, if I were married tonight and I had two sons, would you wait on them? Well, no, you wouldn't. That's not feasible. So Naomi is now looking out for Ruth. And so she tells Ruth to go wash herself, to anoint herself, put on her best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. Do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall practice, or that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." That's Ruth. "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and she did exactly what Naomi told her to do. She speaks with Boaz. She startles him. Of course, if somebody came in and lied down at my feet, I think I'd be startled too. Now remember, this isn't in their private homes per se. You got a lot of people working the fields. They're threshing the wheat or the barley, and so you've got all these workers there. And so she comes to where he is, and she gets under his feet. That's an important concept. She startles him, and she tells him of her purpose. And verse 9 says, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Now that goes along with Hebrew culture. Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at this end than at the beginning, than you did at the beginning after, and you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor." This is the way that God's law has set it up to protect the widows and protect those in need. And so this is a fulfillment, in fact, of the law. And then, of course, Boaz tells her, "I will provide. I'll take care of you." So he basically sends her away after she stays there at his feet all night long, and she gets up before it gets daylight. And then Boaz goes down to the town square, or to the gates of the city, and he sees a redeemer relative closer than he himself, and he gives him the option to redeem the land or not. And so this took a little while, apparently, and Naomi encourages Ruth to be patient, to wait. And Boaz will do what he said. You got to have a little trust, a little faith. And so Boaz then goes through all of the things with the other fella. He declines to buy both. By the way, when Naomi and her husband and children left, they sold their property. Well, Boaz now buys all that property back, and he also takes Ruth to be his wife. He fulfills his promise. He redeems the property. He redeems Ruth. And Boaz takes Ruth to be his wife. And God blesses them. They have a son. His name is Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David. So we see how all that kind of worked out. Now let's talk about some applications, some lessons from all of this. Naomi had left. Now, it was a famine. There were hard times in the land. They go to find food. You really can't fault them for that, can you? But they had left their homeland. Sometimes people find themselves separated from the Lord, from the church. They find themselves separated from God's people. Listen, it's always wise to return to the Lord, to return to His people. It's always good to go back home. And I hope we understand our home is where God is. And that was Naomi and Ruth's main objective, now to go back and serve God. We need to trust God and learn how to be patient. Naomi encouraged Ruth to be patient. All things will work out according to God's will. And we need to learn how to be patient regardless of the circumstances. Remember, again, Naomi had lost her husband. Orpah and Ruth had both lost their husbands. Bad things had happened. They were left in a perilous situation. But they didn't get angry with God. In fact, they sought Him. And they learned how to trust God and learned how to be patient. God worked. Humility is always the way of blessing. Pride brings a fall. He who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Humility is the way of blessing. And being responsible and working hard pays off. We need to be people who are industrious, people who are willing to take care of others. And by the way, even when Ruth was working, what did she do with what she gleaned? She took it back to Naomi. She took care of her. And she also, when she was fed by Boaz, she ate a little and she put what was left over aside and she took it back home to Naomi. She was responsible and she worked hard from morning to evening. It pays off. People are too lazy today. Just go ahead and say it. People are too lazy today. It's not that we're not busy. I mean, when I say lazy, people are very busy for the most part. They're just not busy in what matters most. And we kind of put aside those hard things and difficult things, and we're not as responsible as we ought to be in working on the things we ought to be working on, putting first things first. The value of a good reputation. Ruth had built up a good reputation because of what she had done for Naomi. And it showed. It made itself manifest to the one who mattered. We need to keep our word. Do what we say. Keep our commitments. And like Boaz, he kept his word. And then finally, main point, the value of redemption. The value of redemption. Now, it's not just Ruth, but it's Ruth and Naomi. Naomi had sold her entire property, all that she had, and left, went to Moab. Now she's come back and she has no way to buy that back. It's gone. Somebody else had bought it. What does Boaz do? He buys it back. He redeems it. And Ruth, he redeems her. And so you have Boaz, the redeemer in this story. The value of redemption. What if Boaz had not done what he had done? What would happen to Ruth? What would happen to Naomi? The value of redemption. Now, this particular point is going to get us more focused in on the main point of this entire book. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, is a fitting type of Jesus Christ. There is a reason this book exists in the Old Testament. And to me, I know hindsight's 20/20, but to me, I do not see how a Jew in the first century, in the days of Jesus, could read their Old Testaments and not see Jesus. I don't understand how they could miss Him. I don't understand how they could read Isaiah chapter 53 or Psalm 22 and miss Jesus. But they did. This book itself paints a beautiful picture of the coming Messiah. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. He came to redeem us from our sins. Naomi, a fitting type of the Jewish people, of the Jewish nation, who left their God, who was then redeemed by God, brought back into the land, but because of their rebellion, suffered greatly, and then is blessed. For guess who? Jesus. Boaz is a fitting type. Naomi is a fitting type of the people of Israel. And, by the way, Ruth winds up returning the blessing to Naomi, right? And so you've got Boaz redeeming Ruth. Ruth then provides the blessing for Naomi in bringing a child into the world. and that child was raised up on Naomi's lap. Now, we see that in Romans chapter 9 and verse 4. The whole purpose of Israel was to bring Christ into the world. For what purpose did Christ come into the world? To redeem all men. And it is through the redemption that is provided in Christ, as He purchased the church, that all men can find blessing. So now, Ruth, a Gentile believer, redeemed by Boaz, a fitting type of the Lord's church. Types and shadows are found throughout the Old Testament. They're everywhere. Jesus. Now let's focus in on Jesus. Jesus is our kinsman. Our kinsman redeemer. He was not ashamed to call us brethren, Hebrews 2, 9 through 15. In fact, verse 9 emphasizes He left the glories of heaven. Why? To come to this earth that He could suffer death for every man. Jesus left the glories of heaven and became flesh. He became like us. He became our kinsman redeemer by becoming human. Jesus had to be able to pay the price. I mean, what if Boaz was some poor servant? He wouldn't have been able to redeem Ruth, redeem the property. He had to be able. He had to be qualified. Jesus is both able and qualified. Jesus is able because of who He is. He is God in the flesh. When He came to this earth, He was the Son of God. He is sinless. And He has all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all the world. Jesus is certainly able to pay the price of redemption. By the way, when you think about redemption and what that means, a ransom was indeed paid. It wasn't paid to Satan. It wasn't paid to the devil. It was in the sense that Jesus Christ conquered Satan. And He conquered death. The idea is really that of a deliverer. Jesus has delivered us from the bondage of sin. And the price for redemption was His own sacrifice and His victory over death. And so Jesus Christ is able to pay the price. He became flesh. He died upon the cross as the sinless Son of God, and He is raised from the dead and has all power and all authority. But of course, also as with Boaz, Boaz had to be willing. You know, there was a closer relative than Boaz. So Boaz goes to that relative and offers him the opportunity to redeem the property, redeem Ruth, because it was a package deal. And the man, he was fine with redeeming the property, but when he had an opportunity to, you know, when it came to Ruth, he said no. So, okay. Boaz said, I'll redeem it. Had to be willing. Jesus was willing. Jesus gave His life for us. He didn't just spend a little money to buy back some land and to redeem us as His people. He gave His life. And that was the cost. That was the price of our redemption. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, it was His blood. In fact, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, there the Apostle Paul, in talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, talked about how He purchased the church with His own blood. Jesus was willing to come and to die on the cross for us. We are all sinners. We're all in bondage, therefore, to sin without Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we have an escape. We have a way out. Just like Naomi and Ruth. Death was right in front of them. They didn't have anyone to take care of them. They were homeless. They had lost it all. But there's Boaz. Now, understand something also. Naomi and Ruth wouldn't have had this opportunity had they stayed in Moab, would they? They had to leave Moab and come home. My friend, listen. We have to search for Jesus, and we have to find Him. We have to come back home. All sinners are in bondage to sin. We've strayed, we've wandered, we need to come back to the Lord. We cannot redeem ourselves. That's an impossibility. We've lost it all. We are bankrupt. We understand that. As sinners, we are bankrupt. We have to have the sacrifice of Jesus to cleanse us, to wash us, to redeem us. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8, we're saved by grace. That is the unmerited favor of God. We're saved by grace through faith. That is our trust in Him. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. We cannot save ourselves apart from what God has done through Christ for us. It's impossible. God has provided, not because we deserve it, not because we can earn it, but He has provided Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that through Him we can have life. Will we trust Him? Will we believe Him? Will we by faith receive the grace that God has extended to us through Christ? We cannot earn it. We cannot work off our sins. We can never in a billion years be able to stand before God if we lived all that time and never sinned again. Guess what? We still couldn't say, God, You owe me. It's unmerited, not merited. It's a gift, it's not a works. Not merited, not deserved. We must come to Jesus by denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following after Him. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, come. Chapter 16, verses 24 through 27, talking about His yoke being easy and His burden light. Then you have Him saying this, take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Doesn't sound like a yoke that's easy and a light burden, does it? But it is a whole lot easier and a whole lot lighter than the world. The problem is, what you have to do is you do have to deny yourself and be faithful to the Lord. And you're going to commit yourself to the Lord, kind of like Ruth did with Naomi. Where you go, I go. What you say, I do. I will die with you, I will live with you, whatever. Kind of like what Ruth said to Naomi. That has to be our attitude towards the Lord Jesus. We must be obedient and do what He tells us to do. In Ruth 3, verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garments, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you said to me, I will do. It's interesting. The language that Naomi uses here, go down and wash yourself, anoint yourself. Go down and clothe yourself with your best clothes and place yourself under the authority of this man. Submit to that authority. And do whatever he tells you to do. All these things are also true with us in coming to Jesus, isn't it? Aren't they? I must cleanse myself. Now, I can't cleanse myself by myself. The only way I can be cleansed is through the blood of Christ. And so, Ephesians 5 and verse 26, washing of water by the Word. We believe what the Lord says and we submit to His command. We're baptized into Christ. Acts 22 and verse 16, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, washing away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. That's what Ananias told Saul of Tarsus to do. Hebrews 10 and verse 22. There again we have this idea, the washing, the cleansing of water and the cleansing of the conscience. Anointing, the idea of anointment is that of consecrating ourselves or setting ourselves apart for the Lord's service. We truly surrender ourselves. We anoint ourselves by submitting our lives as a sacrifice to the Lord. And we set our affections upon Him and what He tells us to do. We clothe ourselves, Colossians chapter 3, put on Christ. Put off the world, put on Christ. And verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3 emphasizes, okay, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it gives us some things. It talks about meekness and humility and kindness, compassion, love. Put on Christ. And place ourselves under His authority. It's our action. It is our will. We are submitting to Him. Do you think that somebody who thinks, well, you know, I say a sinner's prayer, bingo, bango, I'm saved and everything's right. I can go live my life now. I can do what I want to do, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die. So many people have that idea. They think that's what it means to be a Christian. They think that's what it means to be saved and have hope of heaven. Nothing could be further from the truth than that. The only way that I'm going to be in heaven is for me to submit myself to the authority of Jesus Christ. Yes, I do believe in Lordship salvation. I believe in order to be saved by the Lord, I must surrender my will to His. He has to be my Lord. So many people, they want a Savior without a Lord. Ain't going to work that way. If you're going to be saved, Jesus not only has to be your Savior, He also has to be your Lord. He's not going to be your Savior without being your Lord. Because, as Hebrews 5 and verses 8 and 9 says, though He were His Son, yet He learned obedience through the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. Jesus said in Luke 6, 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Naomi told Ruth to do whatever He tells you to do. My friend, I'm telling you to do whatever Jesus tells you to do, and you'll be saved. You'll be redeemed. You'll be washed, cleansed, sanctified, and you'll be provided for. And you will receive your full reward, just like Boaz told Ruth. God's grace accepts any who would trust and obey Him. God's not partial. And the Apostle Peter understood this in Acts chapter 10 when he went into Cornelius' household. An uncircumcised Gentile, he goes in and he says, in truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But any nation that obeys Him, He will save. Any nation that works righteousness, that is obeying God. We must hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He came, He lived, He died, He was buried, He was raised. He is now Lord of lords and King of kings. I must confess Him as being Lord of Lords and King of kings. I must believe it in my heart, and I must confess it with my mouth, and I must turn my heart and my mind unto His service because of who He is and for what He's done. I must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, Acts 2:38. How in the world can people read their New Testament and not understand? They cannot understand the role that Jesus plays and the role that we must play in being submissive to His authority, obeying His commands. It's only after the submission to His authority will we receive the blessings of His reign. And I must be faithful to Him. Oh, and by the way, being faithful then, guess what that's going to do? In regard to Ruth, she did everything that Naomi said. She did everything that Boaz said. She was redeemed. She had a family. Guess again who that family was. Obed, Jesse, David, King David. King David, the one through whom our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came. Now listen. Those who are faithful to the Lord will bear fruit. If you don't, if you're not faithful to the Lord and you don't bear fruit, what's down the road for your children, for your grandchildren? We need to be faithful to the Lord and submit to Him and start a legacy. And Naomi wanted to go home to be with her people because they were the people of God. We need to be the people of God, and we need to make sure that legacy goes on. So, what about us? Are we seeking the redemption of our kinsman redeemer, our great redeemer, our Lord and King, Jesus Christ? If you are you seeking it the way that He has instructed you to seek it? Are you serving Him like you ought to serve Him? So maybe there's some here this morning who are subject to the Lord's invitation. You have an opportunity to return home. Come back to the Lord. Submit to His authority. He'll redeem you. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand.